You know, it's you know, when I grew up, we had youth, and there were some people that, you know, you kind of have some people on fire, and but I didn't understand anything. I'm still learning things now too. It's like, you know, where I didn't know half of what they know. Yeah. So, you know, I'm really, it's just that hunger level. It's just that hunger level and getting to a hunger. And you know, we want to encourage the kids to get involved, the kids to get involved in prayer. And, you know, we see tonight that, well, just in Acts chapter 2, it says that he'll pour a spirit upon all flesh, right? You know, we're seeing that Peter is quoting Joel out of the book of Joel, talking about he's going to pour a spirit on all flesh. You know, let's turn there really quick. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and this is Peter. He's quoting Joel from the book of Joel. And look at Acts chapter 2, and this is the day of Pentecost fell. Excuse me. And we're seeing there, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Well, actually before that, verse 16, and it says, "In this, but this is that which was what? Spoken by the prophet Joel." Right? Yeah. And in verse 17, "There shall come to pass in the last days." We're in the last days. Yeah. Right? We are in the last days. Yeah. And we were just, we were talking with the kids earlier. We, you know, talking about, we love talking about the Bible and stuff at home. And, you know, just every day, we're one day closer to Jesus. We're one day closer. We're one day closer, right? I mean, if he tarries and, exactly. So if we're sitting here and, you know, the Lord tarries and, you know, we're old age and we die at some point, we're just one day closer to him. You know, and again, come back to that eternal perspective, meaning, you know, this is just like the Apostle Paul talks about, basically, it's just like a flash in the pan, right? It's just a, you know, we're here one day and we're gone the next. And I mean, you know, you can sound kind of like, boy, that's a little bit melancholy sounding. But if we have an eternal perspective, just remember, we don't die, we just transition somewhere else. That's it. You know, absent from the body, the Apostle Paul talks about, present with the Lord. We're the one spot. And we look in Ephesians, and it says that one family. Yeah. We're one family. God doesn't consider us like on the earth. In fact, let's turn there. Ephesians. I'm off already, so you okay? Get me off on all these things. We'll look at, I'll tell you the exact scripture here in a minute here. Let me find it. It is Acts. Ephesians is in Acts. Now I was just thinking. Thought it was in chapter 3. It's been a while since I looked at it. I think it was in. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. Anyway, it's in here. I know it is. I just haven't had my eyes on it recently. I think it might be first. There we go. Anyway, it talks about the whole family. I believe it's in Ephesians somewhere. Anyway, I thought it was 219. Household. Anyway, it's talking about a family, the whole family, and what's that?
315.
Yes, that's it. 315. I knew it was in chapter 3. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, right? So there's no, God doesn't delineate between, I knew it was in chapter 3, just been a while since I laid my eyes on it, but there is no delineation, right? So, you know, it's kind of like this. I mean, your family is going to be your family forever. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, your parents are still going to be your parents. You know, whoever your family is still going to be in heaven. It doesn't matter whether you're on earth or in heaven. Well, of course, we're all spiritual family, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're right there, right before this chapter, in chapter 1 and verse 2, Apostle Paul talks about, you know, we're body. And he goes through some of those similarities, but there is no delineation, right? So, I mean, you know, you're still family, whether here on earth or in heaven. So there is no, God doesn't see us as you know, different families or not. He's just like, you're in different locations. That's it. So, you know. But, that's interesting. You know, sidetrack. But anyway, I am super proud of the kids. And that's something too, where it's just to see the hunger, to see their involvement, to see them, you know, wanting to get into the Word, wanting to pray, involved in worship, and things like that too. So, very good. Let's look out. We're going to start with a very familiar scripture tonight. We're going to continue to talk about loving the Lord. Let's look at John 3:16. Oh, my. You know, the great thing about Kenneth Hagin was, I loved about Kenneth Hagin was, every time I walked into class, or some of my instructors there, when I had Kenneth Hagin, or when we were whatever, it was like he'd say the same scriptures over and over again, you know? I mean, I go in Spiritology, and he'd open up a Bible, and he'd go, open up your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. You're like, when you open his Bibles, you go, or faith class, open your Bibles to Mark, the 11th chapter. It was like, you just knew, right? But you know, the crazy thing was, my hand would be so sore from writing, because just from one scripture, he would bring out so much truth. Right. And you know, the depth of the Word is just, it, you know, when you read it and you think, wow, that's interesting. But every time I go back and read something, it's like a brand new book. Every time, I mean, one of the books that just totally blows me away is Genesis. Every time I get in Genesis, I see something else, and it's like, where have I been? And I just feel stupid all the time when I read the Word, because I'm thinking, how come I didn't see that before? Where was that at before? Where was I? I just didn't see that before. So, it's so wonderful. But, you know, we get into meditating on the Word in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. And you look at that, and you think, you know what? God loves somebody, something that didn't love him back, which is fascinating. You know, and the cool thing about Jesus was, you know, I never read anything about the Lord going, you know, we were just kind of listening to something about, you know, the Lord never came along and said, boy, I'm having a really bad day today. You know, everything's awful, terrible. And I don't see the disciples, you know, propping Jesus up like, you can do it today. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be great, you know. And I mean, think about what Jesus went through. I mean, other than a lot of his disciples and the people, I mean, you know, he would do miraculous things, but there's a lot of people. He didn't have a real good fan club with a lot of the religious folks, you know? And here you are, you're the Son of God, you show up on the scene, you're helping people, you're delivering people. But again, he was misunderstood at the time too, right? They were expecting overthrow the Romans, everything, you know, we're gonna set everything politically correct and everything's politically straight. That was not his purpose for coming to the earth. So they didn't understand him at that time, but his whole focus was the love walk. His whole focus was loving the world. And then next it says, he gave his one and only Son, talking about God the Father, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And you know, it's interesting because we think about, now you think about the love of God. And if you look at things, for example, you know, if we look at other creations, they're condemned for one sin. Lucifer is condemned for one rebellion. Demons and fallen angels are not the same thing. But we see fallen angels are condemned because of one mistake, right? Because they chose to sin. We are loved and have the option to be redeemed, right? Remember, we got like those pop cans, you take them into the redemption center, you know? I used to work at Hy-Vee, you know, years ago. Oh, man. Those, that's so terrible. That's an awful. Donna retired from Hy-Vee, too. And it's like, I didn't spend as much time, but it's awful, right? And I don't know. I had this one kid that was working for me, and he just loved to do the pop machines. I was like, you just have at it, buddy. I mean, he was just like a pig in mud. I mean, he loved that thing. But that was such a, because why? Because redemption is you're taking something that's used and that somebody, you know, often that's disregarded. And what are they doing? They're taking it through a process of recycling it, right? And it's just nasty. I mean, it's just, and the thing of it is we couldn't keep those machines clean up. They break down because they get sticky and everything. It was just awful, you know? And this one kid, boy, he just loved working on those machines and loved cleaning those. I think because he didn't have to talk to people. I think that he got away from people. But it was an awful, terrible process. But you think about this, that we have so much grace and mercy that no other creation has ever had. Nothing. I mean, think about that, that God didn't send, you know, because even though, you know, I've seen some things in the spirit realm, but, you know, when you look at a lot of these beings and things like that, they're not in the image of God. They're not created just like, we are made in his image and after his likeness. So and he purposely made us that way because we are sons and daughters, but also too, he could redeem us, right? If we were made in the image of a cow, he couldn't come back and redeem us because we're not in his image. But because we're made in his image, he himself could come down and redeem us in the form of man. That's why Jesus always referred to himself often as the Son of Man. The Son of Man, right? That's a whole other topic in itself. But we go on here and it says, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, there is just so much revelation Adrian talked about this today or earlier in prayer, talking about having the revelation of the love of God. What does the Bible talk about love? It casts out all fear, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when you know God loves you, you don't care what people think. You know God loves you, you don't have to fear the enemy. If you love God, you just, again, things just kind of melt off of you. And when you love God, you're like, I can do all things through Christ. I may not have the answer. I may not understand these things, but guess what? I can do all things through Christ. And I don't have to have the understanding that, well, I'm just the greatest thing since peanut butter. And I'll just say this. We have missed the mark in the word of faith a lot. And there's a lot of things I look back and like, yeah, we made mistakes. There's some ministers that just, there was extremes, there was things that happened, and I think it all boils down to understanding the love of God, and that will change everything for you, right? Because instead of I'm trying to memorize this long enough, and I'm trying to get good enough for God, and I'm trying to get, you know, where I can, you know, say this scripture, and I can get to this place, and I can say this, and I can do this, and I can, wait a minute, whoa, 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 who's doing the healing now? Who's the one doing the delivering? It's not me. I can't do anything. I don't have the ability to do these things. But what is the word of God, the Jesus, the power, the Holy Ghost? He's the one that can heal and deliver us, and he wants to do those things. But then we look at things too, and we say, well, if we see discouragement or things happen and we don't see the way we want them to, we do not have the right to redefine God because of our experiences. He's still love. I mean, you know, I think every person in here has had things happen to us that it's like it's been discouraged. It's been we've had things that just, you know, for whatever reason, people let us down or we've lost people or this or that. You know, I've lost a couple of jobs in the past, you know, and it's like you have to kind of start from ground zero and you have to, okay, now we got to, you know, try to rebuild some things again. And guess what? I'm a believer. I'm a Christian, right? And then you get people who go, well, you just must not be in faith. And you know what? Jesus went through junk, right? I mean, things happen to Jesus. We can say that, well, Jesus just didn't have faith. Excuse me? You know, they just, life happens, but that doesn't mean God is still, he's not good. He is good. And he is full of love, right? It's just like me. I mean, you know, our girls and stuff like that, it's just, you know, you can't protect everybody from everything, right? I mean, you know, even though you're a loving parent, you know, it's just, kids are going to be kids, you know? And sometimes they're just going to be mean to people, and you're going to see, you know, kids can be mean to your kids, and And your kids can be mean to other kids. And again, it's all about why you still want your family and your kids to live in this perfect utopia of just this wonderful heavenly thing. But guess what? We live in a hostile world with all, but God is still love. He still has compassion. And you know what? I wake up every day and, you know, no, I don't have the bank account Donald Trump has, but I'm still thankful I'm saved. That to me is everything, right? And I know all these people, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a mansion. I'm going to have all this stuff. I'm going to be just happy to be there, right? I'm going to be happy to be there, and that stuff isn't going to matter to me. Only thing I care about is people around me. As long as you're all there and we get more people, that's all I care about, right? Because if I'm hanging out with Jesus, stuff doesn't matter to me. It just doesn't matter, right? And I think we always look at heaven. I don't know if I'm getting off on myself. But I think we looked at heaven through the flesh. You know, we always get hung up on mansions, which to me, yeah, that whole mansions thing, and, you know, I think he's going to give us the desires of our heart, obviously, but again, people are what God, that's what his heart's after, right? Stuff doesn't really matter to him, it's just people. And so again, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. Let's move on. It says there's no judgment, verse 18, against anyone who believes in him. No judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe him is already judged and not believing in God's one and only Son. Let's skip down to John chapter 6. I don't know. I know we went along last week, but I thought the testimonies were awesome. So, you know, I'm just really encouraged by, you know, the mission trip folks coming back and the California trip. Those who were in California, the Palmer and Chloe, the Circuit Riders. It's been awesome too, hearing about Circuit Riders and all everything that they were doing. So, man, it's just encouraging to see God moving through people. John chapter 6, verse 47. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. And your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Everyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Now, people are freaking out right now listening to this message, right? Hey, guess what? You're going to eat my flesh, and then next he's going to say you're going to drink my blood, right? People are freaking out. And what does it say? Verse 52, then the people began arguing with each other about, hey, what does this man give us his flesh to eat? At this point, what? Many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Now you notice how Jesus, every time people leave or something, he never comes to them and says, oh, please don't go. Please don't go. You know what? We'll change things. Well, you know what? We'll do things different. Well, whatever it is, make you happy. No, he doesn't. Many of these people, and this tells you that the people that left got offended at a statement and they weren't considering. Now listen, they saw Jesus perform all these miracles, and these are some of the people, and Jesus had more followers than just the 12 that would follow him. But we're looking at people that saw miracles, that heard his teachings and everything else. They could not look at Jesus and his character, what he did, they got hung up on something that he said, and they couldn't see him as the person, right? You know, you ever had those people too where, I mean, think about it. You've had something too where you have this, maybe a coworker or somebody you've had, you know, you've known for a long time, all of a sudden, you know, they're so touchy, they say one little thing, and then they, you know, I'm never going to talk to that person again. Oh, well, you've had... Like, I've had people before where I've worked with just different things, had a great relationship, and then they found out I was a Christian or what have you, and then it's like they have nothing to do with you. It's like, these people are in that same boat. Jesus did all these miracles and did all these wonderful things, and then all of a sudden, they can't take the time to go back and say, wait, let's try to understand what he's saying right now. They're just reacting by emotion, aren't they? Well, that sounds crazy. I don't understand that. And also, too, they're focused on the blessings instead of the person, right? All of a sudden, now when things get tough and there's a demand or there's something that, man, I don't agree with, that sounds crazy. Many times I like reading the Bible and sometimes you just don't understand things, right? You know? Like, you know, you read it in the Old Testament where God tells them to, you know, sacrifice hundreds of bulls and for the temple and all this other stuff, and you're thinking, one just doesn't do, you know? I mean, I don't understand that. Like, why do we need hundreds? But it's just what he wants, right? It just sometimes God just wants what he wants, and I don't understand it. And God has told, you know, do different things and say, I don't understand why, and it's not really my job to understand why. And at that time, these people weren't sitting there back there. They're looking at this, they're hearing this, and they're thinking, this is crazy. I am not going to follow anymore. Really? Because he had miracles. We're seeing all these amazing things happen. His teaching is amazing. You're seeing all these incredible things, and you get stumble over one statement, right? I remember, you know, it's just like people that we talk about speaking in tongues or being spirit-filled or something. Give all these great teachings, and you can get it. I've talked with people before, and we'll talk about things, and all of a sudden you get to tongues or you get to that part, and it's like, oh, I'm out of here. Right? Wait a minute here. What does God have to say about this? What does the Word have to say? I mean, what's it now? The trigger words, right? Or triggers, you know, like all these college campuses, you know, all these little safe places where, you know, people play patty cakes and Connect Four or whatever they do. Safe places, right? Well, this must have triggered something in people, and they reacted, didn't they? And again, you know, Christianity is full of people who are focused on the blessing of the Lord, but not the Lord. Again, when Jesus is on the cross, he just got, what, John and the Marys, that's it. Everybody else split. But the amazing thing is his power and his anointing, his love, drew them back to him. The Holy Spirit brought all the disciples back. And what, there in the book of Acts, they were full of power. Instead of pasting flour, they were men of power, anointing. Let's look at First Samuel 15:23. And again, it's our heart towards God. And, you know, we were just talking about the last few days, just about getting into the Word, understanding the Word, having the Word change us, you know, going from faith to faith, the Lord, stepping in these new things. And we can have our own way of doing things, right? We can press against the Lord. And we're seeing, this is what a lot of these people that rejected Christ, this spirit that's on them. And what is it? 1 Samuel 15:26 says, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. We look at one. What's the big thing in John that we looked at that is going to condemn people? It's not believing, right? And what is that? It's just stubbornness. It's just witchcraft. It's saying my way is higher than your way. I'm not going to accept this. I've got it all together. You ever talk to people and you know, talking about sin and things like that too, and people don't know why they need to get born again, why they don't need to repent, you know? Well, I'm okay. I remember when my grandmother was in California and she was on her deathbed, just about dying, and we were talking, and I called her up because, you know, she wasn't a believer. And so I got through the hospital, and this is like in the 90s, so not everybody had cell phones. I couldn't just call up and say, hey, Grandma, you know, or text her or anything, you know. It was like old school, you know. You know, that old thing, you know. What's that? What? Now I'm really going to date myself, but was it Lily Tomlin, you know, ring-a-ding-ding or whatever, you know. That old school stuff. But anyway, I called her up, you know, and we're talking. And I'm beginning, and I'm presenting the gospel to her, and I'm saying, Grandma, you know what? You're at the end here. And this is like late 90s, probably, yeah, mid-late 90s. And I was like maybe 99, something like that. But anyway, so, because I remember Y2K was coming up. Remember that? You know, the world was going to end, you know, and we're going to have like a meltdown and everything too, but that didn't happen. But so when I was talking to her, I said, hey, you know, you're on the end, you know, you're going to die, you know, you're not, do you know Jesus? And we had this conversation, and she said, kid, you know, everybody was kid, you know, the old school, all the that generation, everybody's kid, you know. She was like, well, kid, you know, I think I'm okay. And I said, well, compared to who, Jesus or Hitler? Define good. Well, I, you know, and it was, she couldn't understand why she needed to be born again. And she kept pushing things off and pushing things off. Well, you know, I'm praying that, you know, some, she didn't say the prayer, but then also too, I planted a seed, right? I don't know what happened, because a few months later, I mean, she lived for another, I don't know how many weeks after that. But you can't tell me when you're on your deathbed, you're not examining yourself, right? And I've never been with somebody on their deathbed. I've never, ever had an atheist on their deathbed. Every person that I've had, they're on their deathbed. I want to get saved now. Why? Because it's scary. I don't know what's going to happen after I take my last breath, right? And yeah, so I don't play around when we're on our deathbed. It's just like, you need to get saved right now. You will die. You will go to hell. You need to pray now and change. I've been around ministers before, and over the years, it's like they play patty cake about this. It's like somebody's eternity is on the line. I don't have time to be politically correct, right? You need to turn to Jesus right now. Pray. Remember one time I got a call, you know, it was with the other building, and a family member called me, and there was their cousin, and I showed up, and it was getting ready for church, you know, because it's like we had church on Sunday morning that back then. And so they called me, hey, can you go pray for so-and-so? You know, they're, you know, I don't know if they're going to last much longer. And I'm thinking to myself, great, I right in the middle of working on message. I'm like, of course, I'll go. So I put it down, went, and, you know, I said, this guy, and I said, well, are you, you know, do you want to be healed, or you just want to die? He goes, I just want to die. I said, good. It's one good thing we're going to do before you do die. We're going to pray right now. You need to pray right now. And I asked him if he had been warned again. No, he didn't know anything about it. I said, good. We're going to do it right now. You're going to pray right now. We're going to get you born again right now. Do you understand? And so he got born again. His wife got born again. You know, it's amazing. When you're on death's doorstep, you're open to things, right? And he died like within about 2 hours later. So we just barely, we barely prayed, right? And it's just, again, your heart, you're open. And, you know, God has mercy on people. And I believe that, you know, I was able to get over there. God held on to, you know, he held on until we were able to pray and talk through some things. So, you know, I've had a number of people that on their deathbed, they received Christ. But we're seeing right here that rebellion is a sin, right? And as the sin of witchcraft. What is witchcraft? It means I'm trying to control you by resisting you, right? And that's really when people reject Christ, is when we have rebellion in our life, especially towards Christ, it's like witchcraft. We're trying to control things. And what does God want us to do? We want to do his will. What's Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's what Jesus is teaching the disciples at that time, right? Your will. When we reject Christ, first of all, we're not accepting his grace and his mercy through salvation. But what are we doing? It's actually rebellion is witchcraft. It's we're controlling. And stubbornness and iniquity and idolatry because you've rejected the word of the Lord. Because that's really what we're doing is people are, not we, but people are rejecting the word of God, right? And then it goes on, he has also rejected you from being king. Now he's talking about Samuel. I'm sorry, he's talking about King Saul at this time, right? Because he's rebelling against God. Interestingly enough, when we obey the word, we are being obedient to a person. The Lord. So everything we do, see again, we always think of things, we'll close here in just a moment, but we always think of things when we read the word, we're doing things. It's like, for example, we treat people. Well, it's really unto the Lord, right? Everything we do is unto the Lord. And I've said things again, it's, you know, some people, I love the word of God. It's really interesting because Kenneth Hagin was talking about this and another minister too. But the Lord appeared to him and he would do things and the Lord and Kenneth Hagin would say, I need some scripture for that, right? I need some scripture, right? Because what does it say? The devil comes along as an angel of light, right? So we test the spirits with the word. And when the Lord would appear to him, he'd say, yeah, he'd give him scripture. And he goes, well, I got one better than that. And he'd give him another scripture, more scriptures than what he's expecting. Why? Because we base our faith off of this, not experiences or not over, you know, spiritual beings. That's why you see all these cults, these wacko weirdos. They come up with these, you know, I had this spiritual experience and I have these things. And, you know, it's like the Mormons, a talking salamander. Are you kidding me? You know, it's like, you know, and they thought we were crazy for speaking in tongues, right? I mean, you know, magical underwear. It's like, where does this stuff come from, right? I mean, it's just bizarre. And so, and I don't believe God wants it, but what it is where our faith is put in, it's based in the Word of God. It is based in the Word of God. We'll close here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. I want to be obedient to God, amen? I want Him to change my life. I don't want to be the same. So good getting into the Word, because what does it do? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says what? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Read that again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. So it goes in and it's cutting us. And then it says, piercing even to the what? The dividing of the soul and the spirit. What's that? What's your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. And what's the spirit? That part, the real part of you that is recreated and we are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? We're a new creature. Really, we stop there for a moment. What's it saying? The real you and what you think is you. Or the spirit man and your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. I mean, you get like sometimes you're thinking, was that God? And sometimes you're like, well, that might have been pizza. I don't know. You know, might have been hot salsa. You know. Baked beans or something. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, ice cream or something. But what the word comes back and says, no, it helps us realign and say, no, that's really God. That's the Spirit of the Lord. And it says what? And to the joints and the marrow. Here we go. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we get into the word, it's really going to expose who you are and how far off you are from God and your true heart and your true intentions and everything. It's like kind of dangerous. I don't want to say dangerous, but it's kind of, you know, it kind of starts shaking you up and you read the word and you're like, ooh, ow. Ooh, ow, you know. Remember, just because it's easy to get in the flesh. We were just talking about, Adrian and I were talking about psychologists, talking about just different things and how, you know, people react. And he said, you know, He said, when people get upset or they get cornered or something, most adults revert to like an 8-year-old mentality, right? So what does it do? It means we recoil in our sometimes when we see things we don't like. So we got it. We've got it. We've got an opportunity there. If the word exposes things in our life, we can, you know, reject it and move on. That's what a lot of religious people do, or they explain things away. Well, God didn't heal, and therefore this, this, and this, and this. Or, you know, well, you know, once saved, always saved. You know, if I just say a prayer, I can just do what I want to after that, right? Because I said the prayer, so, you know, I've got the fire insurance now, and everything's great. No, no, we forget Galatians chapter 5, and we forget, you know, Jesus talking about things, addressing these things. So, you know, we can't do what we want to do. And the word comes in, we get more into the word, and it exposes ourselves. Exposes ourselves. Love your enemies. Ooh, I'll just skip right over that. I don't want to see that. Oh, you know. Givenness should be given. Ooh, I don't want to see that either. So, right? But I like God will supply all my needs according to riches and glory. I like that scripture, right? And I can do all things through Christ and, you know, all the warm, fuzzy stuff. I always like to say, too, everybody loves the whole, you know, reap a hundredfold, all those scriptures. But then when it comes time to be the one sowing the seed or helping somebody else out, you know, it's like, is that God? You know, but if I wrote a check out tonight to somebody here for $10,000, you probably wouldn't question if it's God, right? I mean, most people don't, right? I believe that. Yeah, I receive that. You are led by the Lord to give me that $10,000. But then the flip side is when you write the check out to somebody else, it's like, I'm not sure. Is that God or not? The word will help expose us, won't it? It'll help bring some clarity into our life. And, you know, we want the whole counsel of God. And you know what? The cool thing is, and we're all working. I believe we're all going to be a work in progress in eternity, too. We're all just going to learn things. I'm going to learn things, new things. But I just have come to the conclusion, if God tells me to do something, the Lord tells me to do something, even if it's uncomfortable or what I don't want to do, it's in my best interest. Right? I mean, the kids get upset at me when I say, okay, let's get our homework done. I don't want to do homework. I want to watch TV for 5 more minutes. Well, because what? 5 more minutes turns into an hour. And then an hour turns into all night. And then we still didn't get our homework done. It's 10 o'clock at night, right? So as a parent, it doesn't feel good. But what are you doing? You need to do this because it's in your best interest. And God is more interested in our condition than our comfort. Jesus, we thank you tonight for your precious word. Lord, we thank you so much, God. Hallelujah. I pray for these people tonight. They are, God, that we are going from faith to faith to glory, Lord God. But we are becoming mature Christians, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are walking in a new light, Lord God, that you're speaking to our hearts, Father. I thank you that you're that every person here, that they hear your voice on a new level. Jesus, you're speaking to every person here, Lord God. Leading them, guiding them, helping them, Father. We just thank you, Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that you are Son of God, and we thank you, we call on your name, we are saved in the name of Jesus. But Lord God, that your grace and your mercy is for all of us, Lord Jesus, to those who will believe and walk in it. We thank you in your precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. Oh, and then...